Hello, friends. This is Pastor Bill Clark. Welcome to the podcast. Hello, friends are the first two words I begin each message that I get the privilege to share each Sunday. I get to tell my friends about the greatest friend, Jesus Christ. I also consider friends to be one of the greatest gifts a person can have in this earthly life. Most of the episodes will be messages I share each Sunday, but from time to time, I'll invite a friend to share some of their life with us over a beverage. I pray these episodes bless you and help you on this journey of life. God's blessings to you, friend. This is a message I shared at Timothy Lutheran Church on Sunday, March 17th, 2024. It's from Hebrews chapter 5. Paul talks about Jesus being the great high priest.
Hello, friends. Today we find ourselves, as I said in our welcome, we find ourselves 1 week from the beginning of Passion Week. 1 week from today, Palm Sunday. Jesus is going to have his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. In fact, our gospel reading confirms that Jesus and the disciples are journeying towards Jerusalem, and they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. Jesus even predicts for the third time what's going to happen when they get to Jerusalem. In our reading today, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise. James and John hear this, but they seem to only hear these last few words of Jesus. After 3 days, he will rise. And they want to be a part of it. In fact, they're going to go all in and decide, we're going to be the two, James and John, outside of Jesus that people will know and remember. James and John want a place of recognition. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. What's the last time that you've asked that question of someone else? I'm going to ask you for something, and no matter what, I want you to do it. May not always come across that way, does it? Sometimes it takes some coercion, some manipulating. But in the end, I'm going to get what I want, no matter what. When's the last time you asked that question of God? Now, it seems a bit much for James and John to ask it of Jesus. And some may even say that they can't believe that they asked such a question. But don't be so quick to judge. God, heal me. God, take this pain away from me. God, take this broken relationship and repair it, or at least let me just put it behind me and forget it. God, let me rest at night instead of staring at the ceiling for hours. God, I'm asking. Give it to me now. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus replied. Now, I know the way that Jesus is responding to James and John is completely different circumstances. But do you ever think God responds to us in the same way? You don't know what you're asking. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking for things from God. Absolutely none. But just because we ask doesn't mean we're going to get what we ask for. We don't fully understand what Jesus has gone through for each one of us so that we may ask of him. But we still call on Jesus, don't we? Many times we call out to Jesus, we use different names. Jesus has many names that we call him, doesn't he? We have our favorite ways of referring to Jesus. We often describe the Son of Man by using titles that are both comfortable and comforting. Jesus is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our Lord. He's our God. He's our friend. He's a great physician and a good shepherd. Well, today we're going to add high priest to that list. Each of these titles highlights a different part of our Savior's service and sacrifice for sinners. But it's less frequent for us to describe Jesus as our great high priest. That's probably because we don't use the word priest very often, do we, in our daily lives? Especially us as Lutherans. For many years, when somebody would say priest, that was the guy that works at the Catholic Church, right? Where's the black, little white collar? That's the priest. Well, in fact, we're going to find out this morning, not only is Jesus the great high priest, but all of us are priests. 1 Peter 2 says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Today's epistle, the author of Hebrews, who is unnamed, by the way, we don't know the author of Hebrews. The author sets us straight concerning the priestly service of our Savior. He highlights how Jesus is our perfect high priest. As our great high priest, Jesus delivers all the comfort and confidence that comes to us from our Savior. Now, for me to fully understand our epistle reading today, we need some context. We need some context. Here's two questions that I think we need to answer. What is a high priest? And what is the history of being a high priest? So what is a high priest? Well, let's start with who is the high priest when Jesus arrives in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The high priest, or known as the chief priest, was Caiaphas. Caiaphas served from 18 to 36 AD. And there was usually only one high priest or chief priest serving at a time. In the Old Testament, the primary purpose of the high priest was to serve as a representative and a mediator between the people and Yahweh. The office was established by Aaron, the brother of Moses, and high priests were the head priest, were the first at the tabernacle and then later at the temple. The high priest served several purposes that were crucial to Israelite worship. It was the high priest's responsibility to see that the covenant was enforced, to direct the people to complete the duties of the temple and the law of Moses. As the representative for the nation of Israel, the high priest had a tremendous responsibility to direct the hearts of the people towards God and the fulfillment of the covenant. Some of the primary responsibilities of the high priest were the regular handling of sacrifices and offerings and the blessings of the people. In the picture today, the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, the high priest would prepare 7 days in advance for his annual entrance into the most holy of holies within the tabernacle and later the temple, where he would offer sacrifices for himself and the people, including sprinkling blood on the judgment seat. During his entrance into the temple, the other priest would tie a rope around him because he was the only one allowed into the Holy of Holies. Because if anything happened to him, they would be able to grab the rope and pull the priest back out so the temple would remain holy. Many of the duties, actions, and even the style of the dress that was required of the high priest were symbolic. Generally, the office of the high priest was assumed by the son of the current high priest. He assumed it when dad was no longer able to fulfill his duties or upon his death. The high priest was very important, and as we see in the time of Jesus' death, a powerful position. Because we know that Jesus was taken before Caiaphas, and there he was accused, falsely I might add, and sentenced to death. The unknown author of Hebrews provides some history concerning the high priesthood. Priestly service was part and parcel of God's design for the life of his people in the Old Testament. We read today in the first part of our reading from Hebrews chapter 5, every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for his own sins, just as he does for those of his people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. God specifically selected the sons of Aaron to provide this priestly service for his people. They served on behalf of their fellow Israelites, regularly offering gifts and sacrifices to God, both for the sins of the people and for their own sin. God himself appointed them for their priestly service. They didn't appoint themselves. Because the priesthood was reserved for those who were chosen by God, the unknown author of Hebrews tells us that Jesus, too, was appointed to priestly service. Jesus' priestly appointment was made public in a very big way at his baptism. There, Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and set apart to serve as our great high priest. There, God declared, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We see the connection between Jesus' baptism and the word of Hebrews today. So also, Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my Son. Today I have begotten you." "You are my Son. Today I have begotten you." It's also quoted in Psalm 2:7. God appointed Jesus as our great high priest so that he can serve us and he can help us. Jesus is immediately qualified to do this because he's one of us. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, human man among men. And as Jesus is one of us, Jesus knows. Jesus knows our weaknesses. He knows our frailties. In this passage, immediately preceding today's text, the author of Hebrews spells out the comfort we have in Jesus, our high priest. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus willingly accepted our human weakness to suffer temptation. Jesus suffered hunger, he suffered fatigue, he suffered sadness, he suffered loneliness, he suffered rejection, and he suffered persecution. Jesus knows our every weakness. He deals gently with those under his care, those who the writer of Hebrews today are ignorant and wayward. That's us, by the way. Ignorant and wayward. Now, we had this discussion in Bible class. Ignorant is not dumb, right? Ignorance is the lack of knowledge or understanding. You just don't know. When I began seminary, one of my professors told us, "Gentlemen, you don't even know yet what you don't even know," right? Unlike Jesus, we are not without sin. Temptations tangle us up. Sin clings closely to us every step of the way. We have this habit of straying from our Lord's plans and purposes. We deviate from his desires, always seeking to serve ourselves, right? Rather than those around us. We can see both our sin and we can see the amazing gentleness of Jesus in today's Holy Gospel. Let's go back once again to the Holy Gospel reading. You imagine it. You're on the road. You're nearing Jerusalem. Jesus has predicted his death and resurrection. And again, the third time, he predicts what's going to happen. He's going to suffer and die. And the disciples, rather than praying and preparing for what's going to happen to Jesus, James and John hatch their own plan, don't they? They're looking for ways to get ahead. James and John come to Jesus, seeking to sit in glory, longing to get a leg up on their competition and climbing over their fellow disciples in this mad dash to the top of the heap, no matter who they had to step on in the process. Well, the other 10 heard about this power play. Scripture says they were indignant, annoyed and angry, and rightfully so, weren't they? Ready to retaliate against this audacity of James and John. Now, as Jesus is watching this and talking to them, and he's making his way to Calvary, we could have had this brotherly rivalry erupt into this big fight and disagreement. And rightfully so, it's more than enough to ignite the anger of Jesus and the wrath of the great high priest. But the great high priest's wrath was not kindled. As a priest, Jesus dealt gently. He dealt gently with his wayward disciples. He neither condemned nor condoned their sin. Now, he did not excuse their conduct, but he sets them straight with measured priestly sympathy. He corrected them lovingly and patiently. "It shall not be so among you," he said. And he reminded them of his priestly purpose. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Because Jesus is our great high priest, we have this comfort for ourselves. Jesus knows, and he deals gently with us. He knows our sin. He knows our ignorance. He knows our weakness. He knows our struggles. He knows our sufferings. And Jesus knows these things about us. Well, they're not just facts. They're not just knowledge or data. He knows it all as if it were happening to him. He feels for us and suffers with us precisely because he is a human being, like us in every way, yet without sin. Not only does our great high priest know and feel our weakness, but he alone can do something about it. He alone will offer his life as a ransom for all. Jesus, the high priest, is the atonement for our sins. You know, one of the biggest surprises concerning our Savior's priestly service is that it was a learning process for him. When you look at it, it was a learning process for him. In fact, we could say Jesus learned to be a priest the hard way, through the school of suffering. Hebrews 5:8 today said, "Although Jesus was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered." As a priest, Jesus was a learner like us. Our Savior was a student in the school of suffering, a divine disciple who learned obedience alongside us, his human brothers and sisters. Now you say Jesus is God. Yep, he is. And God answers to no one. He could know everything and do everything. But Jesus never used his godly power, if you will, if it would just serve himself. He didn't cut corners. He didn't cheat. He didn't try to jump to the front of the line like James and John did this morning. Rather, Jesus reverently and prayerfully learned obedience through what he suffered. Makes you think, when's the last time you tried to learn something? I'm talking about something new and difficult. I mean, like really hard. Do you guys remember the sermon I gave about trying to play a guitar? I could play one note really good for about 6 weeks, and then I was done, right? Well, maybe you download an app to learn a new language. Maybe you watched hours of YouTube videos to learn for yourself how to do a major home improvement project. Maybe you even printed off a complicated recipe that you might saute your way to success in the kitchen. Whatever you've attempted to learn, difficult things, hard things, how did it go? Were you successful the first time? Or did you bite off more than you could chew? Perhaps what you actually learned through the whole process was this: difficult work is sometimes left best to the experts, isn't it? Jesus learned to be your priest in the most difficult imaginable way. He learned through what he suffered. Tears would be his teacher, pain would be his instructor. Neither nails nor thorns would deter him from learning to be our perfect high priest. The ultimate no pain, no gain, isn't it? Where others would falter and fail, Jesus pressed on. In fact, today's text alludes to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed as our perfect priest. There he offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence, we read today. Those perfect priestly prayers continued as Jesus suffered our salvation on the cross. Father, forgive them. My God, why have you forsaken me? Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. These perfect prayers were an expression of our Lord's perfect obedience to his Father. Through the school of suffering, Jesus became our source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Only this reverent priest, Jesus, has secured our salvation. What he suffered was an account of our sin. The pain he endured was a penalty meant for us. The death he died was the necessary ransom to redeem a world of sinful, wayward rebels. Because of his reverence, his perfect prayerful obedience, his Father raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in glory. And there, Jesus continues to intercede for us as our great high priest. Our salvation is found in no one else. Now, there's one more thing about priest and high priest that we need to learn today. There's one final surprise concerning the priestly work of Jesus. He invites us, every one of us, to share in his priestly work. Because we are also priests, priest of the perfect priest, called to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. As God's baptized and holy people, we have priestly prayers to offer others. Priestly service to render to those around us. As priests of the perfect priest, we are perennial students in the school of suffering, following in the footsteps of our great high priest. But when we seek to be served, we sin, right? When our prayers for others falter, when we sin. But our Lord's perfect priestly service counts for us in the times that we fail. His obedience counts for us. He invites us to learn obedience as we follow him. He promises to perfect our lives through his perfect forgiveness and love. He is indeed the only source of our eternal salvation. What a priest we have in Jesus. A priest that we see today is on his way to Jerusalem to atone once and for all the sins, and also give us the gift of eternity with his Father, our Father in heaven. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to the podcast. If you have any questions about anything that we share in our messages, any questions on faith, any just general questions, get a hold of me. I'd love to have a conversation. Thank you again for listening. Have a great day. God bless.